The last poem in those of those books, and it was a poem that kind of ended a way of writing, was the title poem of the last of the books, and it was called The Drunk in the Furnace. And I guess it's always as good a way of leaving those poems as any. For a good decade, the furnace stood in the naked gully, fireless and vacant as any hat. Then, when it was no more to them than a hulking black fossil to erode unnoticed with the rest of the junk hill by the poisonous creek and rapidly to be added to their ignorance, they were afterwards astonished to confirm one morning a twist of smoke like a pale resurrection staggering out of its chewed hole, and to remark then other tokens that someone cozily bolted behind the eye-holed iron door of the drafty burner had there established his bad castle. Where he gets his spirits, it's a mystery, but the stuff keeps him musical, hammer and anviling with poker and bottle to his jugged bellowings, till the last groaning clang as he collapses onto the rioting springs of a litter of car seats ranged on the grates, to sleep like an iron pig. In their tar paper church, on a text about stokeholes that are sated never, their reverend lingers. They nod and hate trespassers. When the furnace wakes, though, all afternoon their witless offspring flock like pipe rats to its siren crescendo, and agape on the crumbling ridge, stand in a row and learn. I maybe should have put a little bit of introductory material in front of that. I mean, my father's and mother's both, their families come from Western Pennsylvania, sort of unrecognizable now as it would have been to my father as a child, but it was small steel mills and coke ovens and so forth along the river, and then wild country up behind it, and it all followed the river. And they were mainly very fundamentalist Protestants and very anti-drink. Of course, naturally, quite a few of them drank, and